All right, into hour number two. What's going on? Welcome back. I'm live. I'm in Southern California. Had a very eventful first hour. Talked a lot about the AFC Championship game. Some of you are ecstatic. Some of you are bent. I had Eli Manning on in hour number one. Phone lines are open right now. It's good to see him ringing. Toll free, 1-800-636-8686. More calls coming up in a moment. I want to talk more about Championship Weekend. I want to take an early look at the Super Bowl and talk about the NFL offseason. Joining us to help out with that is a national NFL writer for The Athletic. Previously covered the NFL for USA Today and The Washington Post. He is Mike Jones. Mike, it's great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. How you doing?
Good, good. Mike, great to have you. So let me first start with Patrick Mahomes. As busted up as he was, Mike, was there any chance that Mahomes was going to let his team lose that game last night?
No, I don't think so. You just really got that sense watching his movements, knowing the way he approached the week, and then, you know, the way things unfolded late game, he was just going to do whatever it took. You know, the first half watching him, you probably wouldn't have really realized that he had been injured. Second half, there was a couple times where he was hopping on one foot and you could see him moving with more of a limp, but he continued to raise his game. It's just like, you know, poetic, I guess, that one of his biggest plays was made with his feet, as he scrambled for that, you know, that 5 yards in the first down and then drew the late, hit as well. But he was just determined, no, we're not going down to these guys a fourth straight time. We are not going to get denied the opportunity to return to the Super Bowl. I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that this team wins.
Mike Jones joining us. You know, Mike, nothing but respect, of course, for Joe Burrow. Absolutely love this guy. And I even love that he said that his championship window is actually his entire career. That said, as you know, nothing is guaranteed, not even right. For a guy that great. So having said that, how much of a missed opportunity do you think that was for Cincinnati, given the way they rallied in the second half, and they did have numerous opportunities to finish?
No, I totally agree with you that it was a big missed opportunity because you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, right now, yes, he's young, but he's going to be up for a big contract very soon. And then you're going to have salary cap restrictions. So you're not going to be able to load up the roster around him the same way as we're seeing like this year, even with Kansas City having to trade away Tyreek Hill and having to go with kind of a committee wide receiver core instead of having, you know, real star wide receivers. There's more weight on the quarterback. And so Mahomes said it last night. He said, you know, everything happened so fast. I won MVP. I won the Super Bowl. I thought that was just going to be how it was. And I see now how hard it is just to get back there, let alone win a second one. So for Burrow, yeah, you know, they were there last year. They had a really good chance this year and fell short. And you just don't know. I think that we're going to continue to see excellence out of him, but you hope that they can continue to put the pieces around him so that way they have a chance. And, yeah, it's one that's going to sting for them because they're that close, and you just don't know. Hey, I don't think the Rams expected to have the big drop-off they did after winning the Super Bowl last year. It happens, and it's hard. You got to go through growing pains just to get back there, and we'll see what happens with Cincinnati and the guys around Joe Burrow.
I agree, Mike. I made that same point about the Rams a few moments earlier. Mike Jones is joining us. Mike, what about the NFC? The Eagles had 3 more sacks yesterday. That gives them 70 in the regular season already. I mean, it is early, but as you start to think about that Super Bowl matchup, let me ask you about this one key. How do you see the battle between the Eagles' front seven and the Chiefs' offensive line, especially given Mahomes' health status?
Yeah, I think that his ankle will be a little stronger than what we saw last night, because that was progress. But still, this is a really fierce pass rush. They had, you know, 4 or 5 guys with double-digit sacks. The way Hassan Reddick is playing right now is just, you know, he's on another level. And so I do think that there's going to be a challenge for this Chiefs team, Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, to find ways to get the ball out of Mahomes' hands very quickly, finding ways to bolster their pass protection. You know, they did a decent job against that Bengals defense. But this team that they're about to go up against, this defense, I don't think that they faced a unit this fierce. And so, you know, when you look at that, you take that all into account. You know, these games are won and lost in the trenches. And if you're the Eagles, you got to feel kind of good about your chances of getting after him and disrupting his flow. Because as we saw last night, they really struggled to run the ball against Cincinnati. And a lot is on Mahomes. So if the Eagles can take away the run and pin back the ears that come after him, that really helps their chances.
I think so, right? And the only flaw, if you want to call it that, is Philadelphia's ability to stop the run. But, you know, I have faith that they can do that. It's not that they can't. They just haven't done a great job, but they can. Let me ask you this, Mike. 35 years after Doug Williams became the first black quarterback to start in and win a Super Bowl, we now have a matchup between Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts. How significant is this milestone matchup?
It's very significant. I know some people don't want to hear it, but it is just because of the fact, because you mentioned, okay, 35 years ago, Doug Williams was the first. And right before then, you know, Joe Gibbs believed that he could lead them to a Super Bowl, but a lot of people still did not think that a black quarterback could, you know, win a Super Bowl for a team. You know, there are still opportunities were hard to come by, and now here we are, and some people say, oh, I don't even think about, you know, their color. They're just good quarterbacks, good people. Well, that's progress in a way as well. You know, I don't believe you that you don't think about their color, but if you were just looking at these as quality young men and as excellent quarterbacks, then that's all that anybody has wanted. So in a way, it's a celebration. Here we are, finally. There are two that are out there about to go toe-to-toe, two among the best at their position in this league, which is, you know, it's very hard to get there. So it is significant. It's a sign of progress and something that shouldn't be overlooked.
Mike Jones writes for The Athletic. He is joining us right now. Mike, I thought you and a few of your colleagues had an interesting piece this weekend going into the games. You had said that you felt that among the quarterbacks, you had the most faith or felt strongly about Jalen Hurts and the way he might play this weekend. Obviously, they didn't need him to do a whole lot this weekend, but how did he look to you?
You know, he didn't look quite as, I mean, obviously, great determination. He got the job done. As a passer, there still is a little bit, you know, things look a little shaky. I'm wondering about his shoulder. But, hey, he's gutting it out. The thing that now that they are here at the Super Bowl that I wonder is, okay, they really haven't had a tough challenge. You know, the Giants was a blowout. They didn't really even have to really depend on him to throw the ball a whole lot against the 49ers. So, are you battle-tested enough to go out here and go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes? That's the real question. You know, my questions about Mahomes entering this past weekend were what he was going to be able to do with his ankle. But obviously he was able to execute at a very high level despite that. So, you know, there will be pressure on Hurts to, you know, I think the defense of the Kansas City Chiefs might struggle to figure out how to defend him. But there will be pressure on him because you know that Mahomes can score and score quickly, so he's got to find a way, Hurts does, to continue to you know, lead the Eagles, put points on the board, and make sure that they can stay a step ahead if their defense is giving them the backing that we think that they can give them.
Mike Jones joins me for a few more moments. You know, Mike, it's been said the last few years that the running back position is completely overvalued. It's a quarterback league. It's a passing league. I mean, I'll say this. Philadelphia runs the hell out of the ball. I mean, they really run the ball. Does the running game still matter, and does it still matter, especially this time of year?
It does still matter. And look, we saw yesterday where the Chiefs struggled to run the football, but we saw the teams like Philadelphia who were able to really have that balance. It really served them well. When you're able to run the football, you can dictate the line of scrimmage. You can control the time of possession. You keep your opposing offense off the field. And it just makes you more varied. A team can't just pin back their ears, come after the quarterback. They can't just, you know, focus on loading up the box. And so I think that, yeah, the team that's able to attack with the most balance is the team that's going to have the most success. And if you look at the Eagles, not only do they have Miles Sanders that play as well and is running really well, Jalen Hurts, just the amount of things, whatever you can throw at a defense for them to have to prepare for, then that makes their job that much harder. And so, yeah, you know, I know we say this is a passing league, but this time of year, you've got to be balanced. You've got to be able to have times where you can pick up tough yards by grinding it out and controlling the clock. And so, yeah, that plays well for what the Eagles do.
We are talking to Mike Jones. Mike, before you go, and I want to ask about Kellen Moore, who already reportedly has ended up someplace else. But going back, Dallas and Kellen Moore reportedly have agreed to, quote, mutually part ways. Should we just assume that Mike McCarthy fired him? Is that what they mean by mutually parting ways?
Well, I had heard that Kellen Moore's contract was up and that there were frictions between McCarthy and him. And so there were people who felt like, you know what, they're probably going to go in a different direction there. So, you know, because there were frictions there, And because obviously there was, you know, some, I guess, disappointment. Now we hear Mike McCarthy's going to call the plays. They felt like, you know what, there's no need of us continuing this relationship anymore. But, you know, since his contract is up, you can't say he was really fired. But they just decided they were not going to extend him. It's going to be interesting to see. I felt like there were a lot of times that Kellen Moore couldn't make up his mind what strengths he wanted to play to with the Cowboys, you know, and lacks consistency. Can Mike McCarthy bring that in his play calling? And, you know, will Kellen Moore find more balance and discipline his play calling for the Chargers? I don't know. Real question marks.
I was going to ask you, do you like that fit? It looks like the Chargers have already snatched him up. I mean, I know why he would want them. Good opportunity for him. But do you think that's a good fit for him and them?
I don't know if it's a good fit for them. I totally agree with you. Yeah, I would want to go work with Justin Herbert as well. But they have a really good running back in Austin Ekeler, and there were times that you know, Kellen Moore had two good running backs with Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott, and didn't use them and put too much on Dak Prescott. Then there were times that he did really run the ball well. It just kind of was fluctuated what he wanted. I think that you need somebody that has great vision and consistency and discipline, and you know, hey, this is our calling card. This is our identity. When you look at the great offenses with Andy Reid, with Kyle Shanahan, or, you know, with Sirianni even, and with Buffalo, you know what they do well. You know what they're going to do. And kind of don't know with Kellen Moore what he wants to always do. So we'll see if he can find that balance and help further elevate Justin Herbert and his supporting cast.
Mike Jones, my guest. Mike, I appreciate all this content. How about one more thought? I love Miami taking the big swing and bringing in Vic Fangio to run their defense. How big of a get is he for the Dolphins?
Oh, he's a big get. He's a guy who is regarded as one of the best defensive minds in football. We know that they have a lot of talented pieces on that side of the ball there, and so now you have an aggressive guy that is known for a lot of years for producing stingy defenses. That's just going to ease more pressure on their offense and on Tua, because it sounds like that's who they say they're investing in. We'll see if that's just lip service. But either way, you've got to have, as we see, a championship caliber defense if you want to do anything. And Vic Fangio is a great guy. You know, he had a relationship, knows Mike McDaniel. And so I think it'll be a good fit.
So, because you mentioned Tua, let me ask you one quick follow. Any sense of when he's clear and out of the protocol? Or, I mean, could his career already be in jeopardy?
I have heard that he actually was clear, but they just didn't want him messing around and going to the Pro Bowl stuff. You know, there's been a couple of different conflicting things, but every sense I get is that they feel good about where he is right now, but just want to be careful. But again, all it takes is one hit. But as we've seen, he's already had multiple concussions. I'd be concerned. I definitely would address the depth of your quarterback position there because you just don't know. You hope that he'll be okay, but this isn't like, you know, he needs to get better with his passing accuracy or something. This is something that you kind of can't control, brain injuries. You can try to protect him better, but it's a scary thing.
It's a really scary thing. He's a national NFL writer for The Athletic. He previously covered the NFL for USA Today and Washington Post. He is Mike Jones. Mike, great job. Really good to have you on the show. Thanks so much for doing that.
Hey, thanks, Jim. I enjoyed it.
Me too. Mike, well done. Mike Jones joining us. A lot of content. Lots of coverage there. So you are welcome to react to any of that. 1-800-636-8686. Some quick reaction going to break. Hey, Frisco fan, I have some piping hot horse crap sandos for y'all. With Crisco on the buns as appreciation for the outstanding game that your team played against us. Although next time, make sure your team remembers to bring a QB with you. Regards, Nick Sirianni.
I know what the f- I'm doing. And I'm allowed to be done.
Adam in Northwest Philly. They brought their quarterbacks. It's just that y'all knocked them the hell out. Man, it's too bad. Honestly, like, we were so hyped up for that matchup. So hyped up to see Brock Purdy go up against that defense. And to see that guy get hammered on the very first series. You know, if your best beats their best, you tip your hat. Hate to see that. Hate to see that. That was too bad. Hey, Van Sizzle. We think that playing the 49ers without a functioning quarterback was a very fair fight. Signed, Philly fan versus horse crap. The BIC versus drizzle. and Danica versus Tenderonis. Andy from Denver. Yeah, some of those things wouldn't even end up on a board. Like, you can't get action or a line on something that is so obvious or so imbalanced or so unfair. Like, Danica v. Tenderonis. There's no way you handicap that. There's no house that will take that bet. You just can't get it. And finally, dear Cincinnati Mayor, what are we doing here? Signed, Andrew Brandt. What are we doing here? Throwing out paternity suits.
What are we
and
doing
official
here?
Proclamations. What are we doing
what
here?
What are we doing here? What are we doing here?
I'll tell you what. You know you're doing something really dumb if a Hall of Fame player name checks you and you have nothing to do with anything on the field right after a conference championship game. You know you've done something incredibly stupid if a Hall of Fame player cannot wait to go in on you and you're a politician. Jarome. Wow. What an incredible run by Nick Sirianni, a.k.a. Phil Jackson. He beat Daniel Jones, Josh Johnson, and Brock Purdy, doing an impression of the drummer from Def Leppard. How impressive. V in the fee. War Alvey as the Niners' emergency QB. The 69ers, that is. V? Now you're testing my theory. Remember I said last week, V, that I can't really explain why I like you so much, given how terrible your takes are, but I still like you so much? Now you're pushing it. War Alvey as the Niners' emergency QB.
Dude.
The 69ers, that is. V? Broham, I do like you still. Less than I did 30 seconds ago. Dude, don't keep pushing it. You'll end up on the wrong side, man. And I don't want that to happen because I like you. I like your energy. I like what you're about. 69er smack doesn't work on this show. It really doesn't work on any show. Except Alvin's bedroom show. And that's neither here nor there. All right, when we come back. So what it looks like now, we're open the rest of the way. I've done the two interviews. So lots to cover. Lots more about both those matchups and some thoughts about the Super Bowl. We will be in Glendale, Arizona, all next week with our Super Bowl coverage. In the meantime, one quick question. Why is Old Trapper Beef Jerky so amazing? Well, you might start with the fact that it is a family business which stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper. You can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. Every single bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough because they use just the best ingredients. From their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to their real wood-fired smoke, Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite, and it comes in four mouth-watering flavors. Old-fashioned, which is classic beef jerky flavor, exceptionally tender. Teriyaki with the yellow label, where Old Trapper turned the flavor dial to 11. Hot and spicy, with a spice so nice you'll want to snack twice. And, of course, peppered. Tender seasoned beef covered in cracked pepper. Grab and go with a 4-ounce bag or load up with an 18-ouncer if you want. If you don't see it, ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, so in addition to the AFC Championship, I do want to talk a little bit about Eli Apple. You know, the old adage, what goes around comes around. I do want to talk about the NFC matchup. Too bad. Again, hate to see Brock Purdy go down the way he did. But take nothing away from Philadelphia. I mean, bad luck for the Niners. Terrible luck that they were down to their four-string quarterback. But part of the reason they were down to their four-string quarterback is because Philadelphia knocked them out. They knocked those two quarterbacks out. And then when Brock Purdy came back in, obviously he couldn't throw the ball. You're down multiple scores, and he's handing the ball off, and Kyle Shanahan's doing everything he can to get the ball in every playmaker's hands. find a way to get it to Kittle, find a way to get it to Debo, find a way to get it to CMC. Whatever you do, just don't ask Brock Purdy to throw it. It's not his fault. Just too bad that went down the way that went down. So I want to get to that too. Also, Dallas, you know, whether you want to call it a mutual parting of the ways or whatever it is, Kellen Moore's out. And as Mike Jones just said, there's speculation that the big fella, Mike McCarthy, wants to call the plays himself. Dude, how are you going to hire an offensive coordinator if that offensive coordinator already knows that the big fella is going to call the plays? I don't know. And what about Kellen Moore? This guy went from a can't-miss head coaching prospect, and in fact might still be that, I guess, to getting fired. Getting mutually partied with. But ends up on his feet with the Chargers. And to that other point that we just said, I understand why he wants the Chargers. I get that. Who the hell wouldn't want to work with Justin Herbert? But will the Chargers benefit from him? We'll find out. I think it's also curious that Dan Quinn is going nowhere. Dan Quinn, the D coordinator for the Cowboys, also had other opportunities to interview elsewhere. And he decided to stay. Is that because Jerry Jones made him an offer that was too good not to accept? Quinn makes it sound like, I like it here. I want to win here. Maybe. Maybe he knows that if he has another big year and he's got more money, that he'll still be a really attractive candidate. But interesting that they couldn't wait to run more off, but kept Quinn. Granted, the defense is not the reason they didn't advance. The defense is not the one that fell off the cliff. The offense did. It's going to be curious no matter what. So I want to get more into that. In the meantime, let's go to the phones. Why don't we go to Wichita? And again, when you have a famous caller, you never know if it's the famous caller or a fake. If it's the actual, I bet the actual has something to say about the fake. But we'll find out. Let's go to Wichita. Drizzle. Drizzle, what's up, dude?
Yo, what's happening? What you want me, Rome? Yeah. It is the real Drizzle live in the building. How you living, baby?
Good, dude. Good. How about you?
Yo, man, I can't call it because I don't want to spoil it. You dig what I'm scintillating? But, Joe, check game. There was a guy. His name was Johnny. He was in New York. And he came for me not fully understanding the consequences of coming for me. He was misinformed, like I said. It's not a golden ticket. It's a specific invite. And the thing was, when he called trying to impersonate me, he sounded a lot like Sloth's mom. I mean, I felt like dude woke up and had a fifth of vodka and a pack of smokes for breakfast. It was like a bad Rocky Balboa impersonation. I sound more New York than he sounds in New York. I should probably call him and be like, hey, Romy, how you doing? What's going on? You living good? Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad you're doing good. I'm doing good. How you doing? You doing good? He's like, yo, man, check game. Romy, Romy, do I sound like that when I call? No, I don't. But it's all good. Because his girl says my name in his sleep. That's why he's mad at me. That's why a lot of people are mad at me. They're like, yo, Jimmy, I don't understand. Why do you let Drizzle call in and self-gloss and Drizzle did this and Drizzle did that? Y'all mad for what? Because I was gone, and then I came up, and then I did something to make something for my life, and y'all mad at that? Here's the thing. A lot of people who ain't been through nothing in their lives got something to say about somebody who's been through something in their life. He didn't make no excuses. He didn't do nothing but take charge of his life. And they call in, and they say this, and they say that, because they ain't got nothing else to say. All they want to do is crack on how I was once homeless, but now I'm making it. Jimmy, I'm sitting here in a suit. Jimmy, I'm sitting here in a brand-new whip. Jimmy, I'm about to get a new house. Jimmy, they don't understand what's going on. They mad for what? Because the busters, the haters, the this, the that, Drizzle tries to be this, Drizzle tries to be that. I'm going to tell you what Drizzle is. Drizzle is that guy. Drizzle is the guy who don't make no excuses. Drizzle is the guy who comes in and dominates the jungle because he's been through the concrete jungle. Now he can make it in the loam jungle. Drizzle is the guy just getting his paperweight all the way up, and he's still sitting Hayden. But Jimmy knows the deal. That's why Jimmy loves me. Now, as far as the playoffs go, look, Jimmy, it was a bad look. It was a bad look for the Eagles. But you know what, though? They dominated. It was a bad look for that mayor in Cincinnati, just like it was a bad look for anybody trying to come after me. So when they call for me, they better come correct. At least Vic in NoCal showed.
No, Driz. Shark. Dude, get to the shore. Swim. Driz, swim. Shark. Shark. Get out of the water. Get out of the water. Shark. All right, so what happened there? The shark warning comes when I need to get somebody off the line, but I don't want to run them. Why didn't you just run him, Rome? Because he didn't do anything run worthy. So why did the shark make an appearance? Because of this. When Drizzle says, Jimmy loves me. True. When Drizzle says, hey man, I was homeless, but I worked out of it. I fought my way out of it. I got a job. I got a car. I'm about to get a house. Man, check. I love all of that so much. I got a car. I got a job. I got a car. I got a suit. I'm about to get a house. My man, please get a new phone. Get a new phone. Jimmy would love that because you're right, dude. You do make this foliage better. You've been in the concrete jungle. Now that you're in the tropical jungle, you do make it better. But not with a bad phone. My man, you're killing the game. You did it. You clawed, you scratched, you fought, you got out. You're right. I do love that. And I do love you, brother. I do. But I hate that phone. Brother. We're a TV show, but we are still a radio show. It's still an audio medium. I need a better phone line. My man, take some of that scratch. Get yourself a phone. Or a better carrier. Or something. I don't know, man. I part of the message gets diluted because of the quality of the phone call. Did John just win another round on the scorecards?
I can't call him, man.
I don't know, dude. John, if I were you, just don't show up ever again, dude. You may win this fight just by never showing up ever again. Driz, I got you. You're right, though. He's right about one point. He did not get a golden ticket. He has an invite. He's already in. I can't rip the golden ticket because he doesn't have one. He has an actual invitation. He's already in the field. My man, you have fixed so many things in your life. I so admire it. I so respect it. I mean, please, I've got a whole podcast called The Reinvention Project with Jim Rome. I love this stuff, but I hate that phone. I need a better phone. Buy the smack off, dude, whenever that is. We don't have a date yet. Preferably before your next call. I know that not everybody is like me and will buy a new phone every chance they get. But if your phone sounds like that, and part of what you do is you call this show, you need a better phone. Or a better carrier. Or a better place to make that call. All right, we'll take a short time out. 1-800-636-8686. This guy's on it. D in the TUC. John in New York already won round two. Drizzle's phone is terrible. It is. That's why the shark came out. That's our notification for get to the freaking shore. Shark in the water. Jaws. As we sound the horn to stop. All right, we are coming right back. Halfway through it.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So so we could talk about how complicated other banks make it to redeem credit card rewards, or we could talk about how Discover. With Discover, you can redeem your rewards for cash in any amount at any time. I mean, talk about amazing. Learn more at discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms do apply. A couple of things I never thought that I would ever, ever see. John in New York take a run at Drizzle. John in New York living to talk about taking a run at Drizzle. John in New York winning a beef with Drizzle. But if I go to the cards, the judges' scorecards, and the judges being y'all, you have John winning that fight. Rome, after how many losing rounds do we start to gloss Drizzle as light missed? At this point, John is the Eagles' defense, and light missed is the 49ers' QBs. Eric in L.A.
I can't call him Maine.
And Ryan May, 10-10. Drizzle did nothing to get run? Dude is bragging about a new car and house, but dude is still on Cricket Wireless. Drizzle is like the second donut, the law of diminishing returns. Planet Wilson won. Jim, even though John has not answered the bell for a second round, 10-8 John. SA Sports Honk, damn Jim. I've never seen somebody so proud of wearing a suit since they paraded Randy Travis around in that paper suit. Holy crap, Drizzle. All right, listen. The reason the dude is proud of a suit is because he was homeless not long ago. He rebuilt himself, his mind, his body, his spirit. He got his life back together. He built himself up. How is that a bad thing? He's right. I agree with that. In terms of that Cricket Wireless connection, whatever it is, he's got to fix that. He's got to build that up. That's something I would like to see built up. All right, so let's talk about the NFC game for a minute. I mean, nothing against Josh Johnson. The guy has played for like 20 NFL teams. Nothing against him, but I can't say that I ever expected to be talking about Josh Johnson on the Monday after the NFC Championship game, yet here we are.
Here we are.
Turns out it's pretty tough to win the NFC Championship when you're down to your fourth string QB, especially when that fourth string QB also gets injured. When you saw him bounce the back of his head off the turf, you had to know right then, right? I don't think I need to be a neurologist to know right then. That dude's concussed. Frisco fan.
Hey, Frisco fan.
I feel for you. All those QB injuries has really harshed the buzz, bro. Hey, Frisco fan. It really bummed everybody out. Like, everybody was ready to watch Big Clock Brock ball the hell out. It was going to be so dank. So dank, dude. But it wasn't dank. It was just lame.
For real, though, that first game yesterday was pretty much the ultimate buzzkill. We all went from absolutely hyped to watching the best story in the NFL try to keep it going against the best team in the NFC this season. And then Brock Purdy got hurt on their very first possession. And that was pretty much that. Like, ball game, thanks for coming. I'm not saying that the Niners didn't fight. I'm just saying they had no chance to win that game with a fourth-string quarterback or a one-armed Brock.
Hey, Albie, this is Frisco host. What are you doing over there?
Hey, Frisco fan.
This is Frisco host, Albie. What's going on over there? Did you try? I thought that's what you tried to do. That dude also had, you're right, it's fair, he had one arm.
Anyway, it's all about another brutal break for Kyle Junior Lobster Shanahan. This guy's got to become or be the unluckiest head coach ever, at least when it comes to quarterbacks. And he did an amazing job even having them there. But they cannot catch a break. And clearly, you go through that enough. You lose a quarterback. You find this revelation, like lightning in a bottle. Then you lose that quarterback. And then you've got to go to a four-string quarterback who you know had no idea he was going to play in that game. I mean, it's amazing that they got that far, but it was only a matter of moments or time before it bit him in the ass. You can't live like that forever. So they can't catch a break. It finally caught up to them. And yes, that's frustrating as hell to all of them. Listen to George Kittle after the game.
How's that feel to lose in the NFC Championship game because I don't have a quarterback? Pretty shitty, to be honest. Yeah, that's about it.
Right. It felt awesome. How do you think it felt? No, he said it felt pretty bleepy.
Pretty shitty.
That is pretty much it. They didn't have a quarterback. Therefore, they did not stand a chance, especially against those assassins on Philly's D-line. And that does have to feel pretty crappy, especially when it means you essentially have to endure a Philly coronation in Philly. Yo, Philly, how are we all living this morning? Is the city still standing? Did y'all make it through the night? Because downtown looked like a scene from The Purge after that game. I mean, that was some post-apocalyptic bleep. It's not like city officials didn't know it was coming. It's not like city officials did not try to prevent it. My point, it's not like city officials had a prayer. You can use every last ounce of Crisco in the entire universe, and you weren't keeping them off those poles or lampposts. Because, of course, they greased everything up before the game, and of course, it didn't matter. It did not stop Philly fan from getting up the light poles and the lampposts and even the bus stops, because nothing can stop Philly fan. Check out this actual audio of an entire group of Philly fans falling through the roof of a glass bus stop. I told you. Like I'm telling you, this can happen. We're going to fall through the roof. Listen, I'll say it again. You're not a true Philly fan. Far be it for me to say. You know, I'm a California native. Philly fan, do not take offense to this. I don't want to be on the wrong side of you, and I love you. But you're not a true Philly fan until you've eaten a horse crap sando. You're not a Philly fan until you've climbed to the top of a lamppost and taken a Tomahawk Grey Goose bottle off your head. You are not a true Philly fan until you climb up on a pole or a roof and fall through a bus stop roof. Why do you think they do it? To celebrate, sure. But they want to prove that they are legitimate fans. And you're not until something like that happens. This is why I'm checking in on y'all this morning. Because as long as you survive the night, it's got to be an amazing morning in Philly. An amazing morning for the Eagles. An amazing morning for the biggest Philly bro to ever coach a Philly team. That's right. That's right. I've got my own Jungle Tourette's. That's right. Nick Sirianni and That's company right. caught an enormous right. break with the quarterback situation for Frisco yesterday. But let's not act like they had nothing to do with the break. They earned that break by being the clear best team in the conference all year long. They earned that break by knocking those quarterbacks the hell out. I don't want to see anybody get hurt, ever. But they didn't just get hurt on a fluke. It's really bad luck and really unfortunate for Frisco. But why'd they get hurt? Because they got four guys who have 11 sacks or more that are coming after the quarterback. When you can just kind of roll Ndamukong Suh in there, you know it's an issue. The Eagles did not fluke or luck their way into anything yesterday. They belong in the Super Bowl. Hell, the reason Frisco didn't have that quarterback, again, is because Philly knocked him and his backup the hell out. And Jalen Hurts belongs in the Super Bowl. He just does not belong on a stage with a microphone. I mean, I respect the hustle. Can't really knock the hustle, but I can knock the sound. It sounded terrible.
Fly, Eagles, fly, on the road to victory. Fly, Eagles, fly, score a touchdown, 1, 2, 3. Hit them low, hit them high, and watch those Eagles fly, fly.
I don't know. I thought my dude was going to drop an right in the middle of that. Hey, what's everybody's biggest fear?
I'll make up for it now.
Public speaking. You know what's even scarier? Public singing. Personally, I think I'd prefer when Jason Kelce is singing. And Jason Kelce is now one more game away from getting a chance to top No One Likes Us.
No one likes us. No one likes us. No one likes us. We don't care. We're for Philly. Philly. No one likes us. We don't care. No one likes us. No one likes us. No one likes us. We don't care. We're the Eagles. Eagles. No one likes us. We don't care.
I mean, what's my opinion matter? Probably not at all, but that's a Philly song. That's an Eagles song that I can get with, that I really like. You imagine being the parents of the Kelce bros?
Brother.
How utterly insane is that? Both of them in the Super Bowl, and they're both absolute legends. It's incredible. I already asked once today, but again, what's better than the Kelce bros? Answer: the Kelce bros playing each other in the Super Bowl, which is exactly what we're going to get. This is none of that Harbaugh stuff, right? Harbaugh v. Harbaugh on the sideline. Harbaugh. Horrible. Like, that was cute and all. But these two dudes on the field is so awesome. Unfortunately, we did not get that competitive NFC Championship game that we were all obsessed with. We got a one-armed Brock Purdy, and we got a concussed Josh freaking Johnson. Hey, Josh, no offense, my man. The game sucked. But credit to Philly, because that was the very definition of a hospital job.
For real.
The Niners deserve all the credit for even being there, given that they were down to their fourth string quarterback. But now they enter a really critical offseason. I mean, what the hell do you do with that quarterback situation now? Do they keep Brock and cut bait with Trey Lance, who they've got so much invested in? Do you keep Brock, who led them to seven straight wins, the NFC Championship game? And who knows what might have happened if he didn't get hurt? What do you do with Jimmy Garoppolo, who was all over social media with that giant grin on his face yesterday? It's going to be really interesting what they do with their quarterbacks. Do you take a shot at either Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady? That QB room is going to be something. Third hour is coming up. I'm looking for your phone calls. Hit me up right now.